My name's Roxanne. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Roxanne.
I'm really grateful to be here. I have to confess, this is like an insurance policy speaking today. When Judy asked me to speak and gave me a few dates, I picked this one because I knew it would give me the best chance of writing through, I think it's like our national holiday for permission to binge and eat as much as you want and pass out, and it's absolutely normal. So I'm really grateful to be here. As I said, I shared at a meeting yesterday just briefly, and it really started to resonate with me how much my life has changed since I've been in OA. I have to preface it, I'm also in another 12-step program. I've been sober for 12 years, and some people can go into one 12-step program and get all they need under one umbrella. I couldn't. I couldn't deal with this obsession without coming to OA. And I felt that there was something wrong with me because I couldn't. Overeating for me, actually undereating, started first when I was in my teens. It was, you know, what diet, what pill could I take to make me not want to eat? And then just about 14 years old, there was a lot of emotional stuff. There's trauma in my background, and I found food. And at 15 years old, I was the first time that I went over 200 pounds. I found a solace in food that I could not find with any other person. I never felt comfortable in my skin. My first memory of that was about 3-4 years old, hiding behind my mom. I was extremely shy. I still am shy, but not as bad as I was. I couldn't have people look at me. I would hide behind my mother's skirt. I just never felt comfortable in my skin, no matter what. So what it was like, it was hell. I wanted to be alone with the food. I could eat blocks and blocks of cheese. There was just never enough of whatever food it was that I was going to eat. And there was times where I did lose weight. Over-exercising is definitely part of my story. And just going throughout my life until I came into OA December 3rd, 2014. I'm coming up on 3 years. And food throughout, from the time I was 15 till the time I came in, so I would have been 45. It was just my connection to feeling okay, to trying to fill that void, to trying to fill that tremendous hole inside that I could not fill. I have to say that I was feeling a lot of sadness last night because I remembered what it was like 3 years ago. I was in a really abusive relationship, and I was also working for a domestic violence organization, so I really felt twisted and what was wrong with me that I couldn't, you know, even with having all the support around me, that I still remained in this relationship. In this relationship, he was a sex addict, and I only mention that because there's that piece about being with somebody and you just can't be seen. I was so, I felt so unattractive, didn't want to be seen, but also wanted to be seen. And having that bubble around me, my weight, was a security blanket. It was a security blanket from the world. It was a security blanket against the trauma. It was a security blanket against the looks or the advances that I didn't want. It was my protection mechanism. And I couldn't, no matter how much I wanted to get rid of it, I couldn't get rid of it. And just at the very end, so I was in this marriage, and I was exercising about 30 miles. I was hiking about 30 miles a week. And my solution at that time was to cut back on working so that I can hike more. But the hiking more was my permission to have larger portions. And at that time, my spouse at that time was living in sober living. And so I would come home from work. I would close the drapes, close the blinds, be alone, and I could just overeat on a salad. And I kid you not, a salad. Or popcorn. Or when we were together, there was an intimacy with food that was between us. You know, he wanted to see me have large portions of food because he wanted permission that he was having large portions of food, and he didn't want to look at the fact that he was overeating. So that was a connection for us. So there was a natural disaster that happened that I don't want to go into detail about that, but in the middle of this disaster, it was about 10 hours that I knew there was a really high probability that I was going to die in this incident. And there was two things that came up for me in this thing. One, I was not done being a mother. There wasn't the bargaining prayer, like, if you get me out of this one this time, I will do this. It was such a critical point that it was just, that wasn't what was up for me. The other thing is I despised myself so much that if I got out of this situation, I was going to have to address my food issues. I was going to have to address my weight issues and be willing to look at another program. And that happened on September, that incident, September 10th and September 11th. And it took me till December 3rd to get here. My last mega binge was Thanksgiving 2014. I was at my sister-in-law's, and they're all overeaters, and there was a Costco pie. And we had permission to dust off this pie because they did not want to waste the pie. And there wasn't any amount of pie that I could have had. And I had two incredibly large portions, which wasn't a portion, obviously. I mean, it was like a quarter of the pie was a portion. And a Costco pie is humongous. And it just wasn't enough. And I got this eye-opening of looking at it going, oh my God, there's something really wrong. So for some reason, December 3rd, I decided to walk in, and I didn't know what to expect. I was willing to try anything, and I found relief. There was something that I was hearing that just really resonated with me. Fortunately, I had, within a few days, on the newcomer's packet, someone wrote on there, text okay, and I ended up being in a situation, my mother had a medical emergency. And I started texting somebody because they said texting was okay, and I found my sponsor. It's been incredible. I can't imagine walking this path without a sponsor. Just cannot imagine, because I would have given myself permission to try to go back to, I have to really work on not doing the over-exercising piece, and the restriction piece comes up where I want to just control it or think that I want to manipulate the results. Or it's not fast enough, or it's going too slow, or I'm not happy with something. And by having a sponsor, I get to play that off of somebody. And she's very loving and gentle with me. And that's something I've also found in this program, is I was walking in and wanting a thrashing, a beating. Wrong program for that, because it's a very gentle and loving program. And in that, I have found a lot of support and love, and, you know, loving myself where I couldn't do it until I could get to a place where I could, and I continue to grow. So basically what happened in about 4 months of my abstinence, some things were revealed about my spouse, secret family, secret kids, secret visits. And it's a miracle I managed to stay abstinent. And I think it's only because of this program that it became enough. And it was within that 24 hours of that discovery that I left that marriage. Never talked to him again. And I'm divorced, thankfully. And my life has absolutely evolved. And a lot of things have changed. I wanted to leave my job for a very long time. I was unhappy with certain things, and I've left that. And it's a result of this. I've been able to walk through the fear. There was so much fear I've been walking around with my entire life, and I was able to deal with some of that in my other 12-step program. But my fear of being in my own skin I've dealt with it in this program. I have to say my abstinence is not, fortunately, it's not, we don't have the only word I can think of is cookie cutter abstinence. And it's nice. It's nice that we don't have to have, my abstinence isn't the same as yours, and we get to do it all in our own unique way. I don't cut out everything under the sun, and my abstinence does require me to have 3 meals a day. Now, there's some times that I have brunch, and I consider that the 3 meals, but it's really important for me to do that. It's so much less about the food now than it is about the behaviors. I haven't I haven't binged. I haven't restricted. Sometimes I can be completely pissed off that I want to restrict. And I text my sponsor and she'll say something like, it's okay. I totally understand. I'm struggling with that this week. And I look at her like, oh my God, you know, she doesn't look like she's struggling with anything. And sure enough, it's the same thing. In a reading, it's no coincidence, the readings that were going around last night, a section of humility came up on my paragraph that I was reading. And I have to share about these struggles of where I'm at right now. For the first 2 years, my weight dip slowly, and it was great. It felt easy. It felt sustainable. It felt like it was always going to be like this. As soon as I lost the weight, I gave away the clothes. Like, within, like, 30 seconds of losing the weight, saw it was down, and, you know, get it all out the door, you know, really quick. This past year, it's been slowly creeping up. I'm abstinent. I'm following my plan. I'm not over-exercising, but it's been creeping up. I'm hitting a certain point in my life, which I thought, no, that's just not going to happen to me. Well, it's happening to me. Certain sections of my body are definitely starting to, I'm definitely in perimenopause, and there's been a humility about having lost the weight and it's starting to creep up. I'm honest with my sponsor about it. I'm looking at my food. I'm staying within what I should be doing. But it's the reality. Recently, I had to go get one size larger of pants. And it was like, oh my God, I should not have to do this. I'm in OA. What's wrong? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Not wanting to be seen. That whole crap started again. So I share this because I want to hide that. I want to hide in that shame. And there's nothing to be shameful about. This is just where I'm at. And this program has given me such incredible freedom and peace of mind. I don't have to live alone in the shame. I don't have to be invisible. Me being invisible or staying in that shame could lead to me coming back to food as my solace. And it doesn't have to be there. It doesn't mean that I have to be a certain size to be abstinent, and I have to let go of that. I used to weigh all the time. I don't do that anymore. I used to be very attached to the number. I'm letting go of that. I trust my higher power, except for when I see that number starting to climb up, then I'm less like, higher power, I think I've got to take this back. And so things I'm doing is introducing like another exercise, but half hour exercise, not, you know, let's go hike and go do some insane hike that takes like 8 hours and go cut back on work so we can go, you know, really go burn some calories and control this thing. What I want to say is it's not just for the newcomers. It's if you're struggling, we have a lot of incredible tools here. Not only is it our food plan, but it's the food behaviors. I know that I'm with people. I have to watch what I'm doing. I'm in a relationship. I'm in a wonderful, healthy relationship. He is such a normal eater. It is so frustrating to watch him eat. He eats like a bird. He'll take a couple bites of banana. He'll leave the banana, and he'll come back to it later. And I'm like, oh my God, it's just a banana. He eats protein bars. He'll eat a bite of it. He'll set it aside, and it's like, you know. He eats chocolate regularly, and it's like, he eats a couple bites, and he'd set aside. I bake for other people now, and I love it. I don't touch it. I don't lick my fingers. I don't taste it. They all always wonder, like, how do you bake and not taste it? I don't need to. I can watch their expressions, and it's fine, you know? I don't need to have my hands in it as far as eating it. It's very liberating to be abstinent. I am in touch with my sponsor, usually on a daily basis. Sometimes I'm sending two plans at a day. I send my plans, I write out what I eat, but my plans don't just include the food. They include reading, praying, meditating. connecting to my higher power is absolutely critical. The days that I do those three things and send my plan are the days that feel the easiest, and I feel the most held, and I feel nourished and nurtured. And it, that whole thing about the food and how many thoughts we have of that, when I send my plan to her, it quiets all that chatter down. So I'm very grateful to be here. What a beautiful holiday it is. Thanksgiving was not about the food. I could have cared less about the food this year. Really didn't care about the food. What a miracle. And I'm just very grateful to be here, very proud to be in this program, and very grateful to be with you all. Thank you.